The Color of Water, a black man's tribute to his white mother, is the autobiography and memoir of James McBride, published in 1995. This best-selling memoir is a tribute to his mother, whom he called Mommy or Ma. James grew up in a family of 12 brothers and sisters. He was raised by a white Jewish mother who was evasive about her Jewish ethnicity, but steadfast in her love for her children. As a boy in Brooklyn's Red Hook Projects, James knew his light-skinned mother, Ruth, was different. So he wondered if he was black or white. When he asked his mother one day if he was black or white, she snapped, "You're a human being. Educate yourself or you'll be a nobody." You see, for Ruth, education, not race or culture, was the realization of one's full identity. But young James wasn't satisfied. So he asked his mother, a very religious woman, whether God is white or black. Mother Ruth sighed. "Oh boy, God's not black, he's not white, God's a spirit." "Does he like black or white people better?" James then asked. "He loves all people, he's a spirit." "Well, what's a spirit?" His mother said, "A spirit's a spirit." "What color is God's spirit?" "It doesn't have a color," his mother said. "God is the color of water. Water doesn't have a color." James writes that he could buy that response. And as he got older, he continued to appreciate more deeply and profoundly the many dimensions of his racial and cultural identity. On this feast of the baptism of the Lord, we see in the gospel that the water at the River Jordan was colored with expectation. With John as the first act, people were expecting a spectacular follow-up. Our readings, though, present Jesus in a very humble light. And Luke can hardly bear to admit that Jesus joined the crowds who immersed themselves in John's message and were then baptized by him. In order to sidestep the questions, what purpose or to what end is a baptism of forgiveness of sins to Jesus, the one who is without sin? Luke places the baptism in the passive voice and almost as an afterthought. Well, Luke then goes on to depict Jesus at the time of his baptism as a man of prayer. Above all else, his commitments and course of action flowed from his prayerful encounters with the Father. Jesus would go off by himself for longer periods of times of communicating with God before key events in his life. His identity and his mission flowed from his relationship with God, who called him the beloved Son. Jesus was the model of Ignatius of Loyola's ideal of a contemplative in action. He prayed about how he should act, and he acted on what he heard in prayer. Now, we can imagine Jesus mulling over the phrases in Isaiah's prophecy about the suffering servant until they formed his inner consciousness. Jesus had no script but the scriptures to lead him through his discernment. So listening to the gospel today in connection with the suffering servant song from Isaiah, we get a sense of where Jesus found inspiration for his vocation to establish justice among the nations. Like James in The Color of Water, we see a picture of Jesus realizing his identity and discovering his vocation as son and servant. And his baptism, to use a sports metaphor, was the kickoff for his public ministry. Well, like every human being, Jesus had to seek God's will in his life. When we're about to make an important or life-altering decision, who among us has not hemmed and hawed, tossed and turned, stared into our coffee, kicked the same pebble down the sidewalk to discover God's will? Before accepting a new position, a big move, or making a commitment to someone or something, we likely ask God's guidance and wisdom. And we ask things like, what to do? Which way to go? How to know? If only I had a crystal ball. If only God would just tell me what God wants. Some state simply that this is prayer. And it seems Jesus did the same. He prayed before he embarked on his ministry. Luke does not tell us what Jesus prayed, only that he prayed. And so we are to be people of prayer who consult with the Almighty, seeking direction, guidance, wisdom, and insight before embarking on our way. So maybe ask yourself, how would you like to enrich your own prayer life this year? What is begun in baptism is lived out through the practice of prayer. Well, we see in the clear, life-sustaining waters of our own baptism the color of our identity as the beloved of God, the God who loves us, cries with us, and for us, who knows the pain and despair and anger we experience because he has experienced it all himself by becoming one of us. In his book, Life of the Beloved, the late Henry Nouwen says this about being God's beloved. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. When we embrace and live into the reality that being the beloved expresses the core truth of our existence, we are then ready to go forth, following in the footsteps of Jesus, to love and serve others. So how easy or difficult is it for you to believe that you are God's beloved? And why do you think this is so? Today, let us reclaim our baptismal certificate as our principal identity card. It tells us to whom we belong and to what we are called.